Hello, welcome to the Campus Bible Study Podcast. Join us each week as we hear from God's Word, as we seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all.
Welcome to the Campus Bible Study Q&A Podcast. My name is Grace, serving with the Engineering Faculty, and this week I am joined by Carl, one of our pastors who leads Campus Bible Study Ministry. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Grace. It's great to be back.
It's week five on campus, and we are encouraging our students to be inviting friends to our week seven Meet Jesus Easter talks and events, which is really exciting. I remember this morning talking with my Bible study about who they can invite, who they can be praying for. Some of my students are mentioning friends that they have in classes who they want to bring along to the Easter talks during week seven. So we'll be praying for them, which is really cool. Carl, you've been away. You've been overseas. Can you catch us up on what you've been up to and maybe a highlight from something that you've
Certainly.
Been doing?
Yeah, I haven't been on holidays. I've been working over in the UK. The men of Ireland asked me to come over and teach the Bible at their men's convention. That was a real privilege. Taught three talks on the book of Titus. And it was just fantastic. 1,000 blokes who all wanted to dig into the Word and that was a real privilege to be able to serve them with that. When they flew me over, it gave me the opportunity to do some student ministry in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and also in England and Scotland on the way. So that was great to be able to encourage some of the student groups in various universities across in the UK. Really quite encouraging.
That's awesome. It's cool that we can continue to partner with people who are very far away from us.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into the questions from this week's Bible Talks, which was on John 11. And starting with our first question, which is from Taylor. She's asking about how the resurrection is a person. That's what you mentioned in the talks, not an event. Isn't there a point in history, a literal event, where the dead will be raised? Can you help us understand that?
Yeah, really good question, because it helps us expand a little bit. Why I said the resurrection is a person, not an event, is because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So he is obviously saying that resurrection is not just an event. He is that thing. And the Jewish people always believed that there was going to be a resurrection day at the end of time. When God brought in the last days, the end of time, that was when the resurrection was going to be. But what we have with Jesus, it's like Jesus has dragged that last day forward. And you know how the New Testament speaks about the last day coming with Jesus coming? In a sense, Jesus has dragged that resurrection through history and begun it. Because he is the resurrection. It's not just an event at the end of history, or you could say it another way, we've arrived at the end of history as the resurrection is dragged into our world. Do you want to come back at that at all, Grace?
No, that sounds great. It's really interesting to think about resurrection as a person. It's a different perspective, but Jesus does literally say that I am the resurrection and the life.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I guess connected a little bit is John's question. Are Lazarus and Jesus the only men to be resurrected in history? Is he going to be resurrected twice?
Yes, really interesting question. I'm hesitant because, in a sense, that question sort of assumes that the general resurrection is still a long way off in the future. But we've just spoken about how Jesus has dragged the resurrection into our era, and Christians have become part of the resurrection now that Jesus has died and risen. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about Jesus being like the first fruits or the pioneer of resurrection. And with his resurrection, Resurrection Day has begun. So rather than there only being two men who've ever been raised in history, in a sense, everyone who has followed Jesus has actually also been raised with Christ. And so Colossians 3 and Ephesians 2 will actually go as far as saying that if you trust in Jesus, you are now raised with Christ. Not a physical resurrection yet, but definitely a spiritual resurrection has already begun for everyone who has put their trust in Jesus. So Lazarus and Jesus, Lazarus had a special pre-resurrection resurrection because Jesus can do it because he's the resurrection. Then Jesus was the pioneer of many resurrections to follow for those who trust in him.
Yeah, what a great reminder that it's for everyone. Going on to the next question, a student from the Arts and Design faculty has asked about the idea how throughout the course of history and through the scriptures, lots of people from the Old Testament leading up to Jesus have died, and they didn't really get up to the point where Jesus actually died on the cross for them. So how do we think about salvation for those people? Is there a temporary, a past, future effect of salvation?
Yeah, there's so many good questions in this question. We'll try and answer a few of them. the first one to think about is how is anyone before Jesus saved and resurrected and forgiven? And Hebrews 11 is really helpful because Hebrews 11 works through this whole big long list of people in the Old Testament who have been saved by faith. They didn't know, in a sense, how God would fulfill his promises to them, but they believed that God would fulfill his promises. They had faith that God would fulfill his promises. So at the end of the great long chapter of all these Old Testament heroes of faith who've trusted God's promises, verses 39 and 14 40 are really interesting. Do you want to read them, Grace? 39 and 40, are you in Hebrews 11?
Hebrews 11.
39 and 40.
39?
Yeah.
Yes. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
See what it's saying? They all trusted God to keep his promises, but they didn't receive it at that time. They had to wait until, well, in a sense, our time, when Jesus had fulfilled the promises, brought in forgiveness through his death and resurrection through his resurrection. And so all those Old Testament saints, in a sense, are saved the same way as you and I are, through Jesus' death and resurrection. But it was through faith in promises yet to be fulfilled, whereas we look back on promises that have been fulfilled. Even more amazing that they could trust something that they could not see. Yeah, quite amazing. Now, there's also a little bit of the question was on kind of resurrection and Lazarus's resurrection. Obviously, Lazarus, in a sense, was raised to show that Jesus is the resurrection in a person.
Yeah.
But without Jesus' death and resurrection, Lazarus would have died again. I'm convinced of that. It's only as Jesus pioneers eternal resurrection that Lazarus can have a place in that through faith in Jesus too.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks, Carl. The next question is from Simon. And Simon asks, should we understand death as a thing or an absence, so, i.e. an absence of life? Is there a distinction between the event of death and the reality of death?
Yeah, thank you, Simon. This is a really helpful question because modern atheism kind of wants us to believe a very materialistic version of death, that if you're just made up of atoms and there's nothing spiritual about you, when you die, the atoms just all sort of fall back into the ground and you no longer exist. But the Bible says that's not what happens. So Hebrews 9:27 might be a good verse at this point to have a look at. Do you want to read that for us, Grace?
Yeah, Hebrews 9:27.
Yeah.
It says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment.
Yes, and it goes on to talk about Jesus Christ having been offered once to bear sins of many, will appear a second time and to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. But the key thing is that humanity doesn't end just in death and nothingness. Humanity finishes life in death and judgment. And so we've actually got to see that judgment beyond death is, you know, in a sense, what is death but eternal judgment? And that's what we want to avoid. We deserve God's judgment. We know that. We are sinners. And yet God in his kindness has stepped in and taken that death judgment in our place at the cross. So we must actually keep trust or believing that death is not just an end of life into nothingness. Death is an end into judgment, which is not good. And that is why the gospel is so important to be speaking. People need Jesus or they will face God's judgment.
Yeah, understanding that there's judgment beyond death really points us back to the fact that we really need Jesus and that it is so important that he is the resurrection and the life. Yude has asked a question about verses 41 and 42 of John chapter 11. Let me read the verses and then I'll ask his question. Verse 41 says, "So they took away the stone," that's the tombstone where Lazarus is, "and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, and I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.'" And Yudes asks, what is Jesus talking about here when he talks about the things people hear him say, and what did he say that God heard?
Yeah, it's really... it's really quite interesting, isn't it? It's almost like there's a stage direction here that Jesus is giving. And he's saying, I don't need to pray out loud to my Father God to make this resurrection happen. Mm. But I'm doing it for the sake of people around to understand the connection between God the Father and Jesus who is has been sent from the Father.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's reminding us that Jesus has come to do the will of his Father, that Jesus depends on his Father, that it's this Trinitarian stuff that we'll be looking into next week. So in Flexi Week, we're having a special look at the Trinity. Mm. And so really, Jesus is demonstrating the Trinity here. He doesn't need to. He tells us that. But he's speaking about it so that we understand that he is not operating alone. Mm. He is doing the will of his Father. He's being sent by his Father and he is doing the will of his Father. So perhaps, how would people prepare well for next week, Grace?
Yeah, so Flex Week is next week. So that's a time where students don't have classes. And we are running as normal Tuesdays and Wednesdays activities throughout the whole day. And it's really cool because during our talks, Tim is going to be helping us think through the Trinity. And in the Bible study as well, we'll look at the relationship between God as the Father and Jesus. And hopefully Tim will help us think about how the Spirit comes into all of that. Do you have any tips or thoughts of how to prepare for that?
Yeah.
Huge topic.
It'd be really worth, if you've got time, read John chapter 14 to 17. Mm. If you're short of time, maybe just 14 to 15, but 14 to 17, really some beautiful Trinitarian scripture that reminds us of how beautifully complex our God is. Not easily able to be put in a box. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, one God. In three persons. It's going to be great exploring that next week.
That sounds great. I'm super excited. Carl, would you like to pray to wrap up our time here?
I'd love to. Our Father God, we're really thankful to you that you have given us resurrection in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have given us the person who is resurrection, that he has dragged resurrection into our history, and that now we can rest secure in resurrected life because he has died and risen and pioneered that resurrected life. Father, please help us to trust in him and please help us to hold out this beautiful word of life to people who are perishing and need to hear it. And we pray that you'll be merciful to many and particularly in the Meet Jesus series over the next few weeks. Father, please save people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in this week to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed on your regular podcasting app. And why don't you check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at campusbiblestudy.org.